Today I'm continuing my series on anxiety. And my topic today is called How to Defeat Anxiety. I want us to open to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We're going to start with a simple verse. We're going to dissect it a little bit and then go into 3 points on how to defeat anxiety. All right? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Okay? Mammon means money. You cannot serve God and money. Like, what does this verse have to do with anxiety, right? There's a lot to do with anxiety, because next scripture says this: therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Another translation says, do not be anxious about your life. All right? So, serving two gods at the same time will cause anxiety in your life. Now, have you ever wondered, why did Jesus say out of nowhere, no one can serve two masters? Well, I thought about that to myself. I meditated on that. And I imagined that when he was looking at Jewish people of his time 2,000 years ago, guess what? He saw them serving God and serving, come on, talk to me, money. So he was talking to the culture that was religious and yet it loved money. So they said, we can serve a little bit of God, and if God can help us, we can serve the money, and we'll just serve two masters. And one thing Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other. I used to work in a restaurant when I was a kid. I told you about that, washing dishes. And we had three different managers, okay? And then one was let go of or fired or just quit. I don't know what happened. They don't tell us those things. We're just dishwashers. and the new manager came in. And we had our favorite manager. This is our, Allie is our favorite manager. Then Tom is our other manager. And then Kathy. Oh, we hated Kathy. She was just a horrible manager. You know, so if you had two bosses, you'd probably like the one more than the other. And so they were in competition. And what Jesus is saying, you cannot have money compete for your God. There's only could be one God in your life. And so what I discovered, when there is competition between God and money, God and your spouse, God and your job, it's always going to cause anxiety. Anxiety is a symptom that points to a bigger problem. On your car, you have this cluster of different things, right? And if check engine comes on, it's an indication that something is wrong with your vehicle. If that temperature gauge go all the way to the right, that means your car is overheating. Anxiety points to something bigger in your life. Okay? Anxiety is an indicator. It's a meter that shows you what's going on in your soul. And usually, it's a competition between two gods. God competes for your attention. How many of you know that? Bible says God is knocking at the door of your heart continuously. So God wants to live in your heart. And you were created to live with God. Remember Adam and Eve? They had fellowship with God every morning, Bible says. We should have fellowship with God every morning. That's spending time in His Word and in prayer. We were designed to do that. Human beings were never designed to live autonomy, without somebody. We were designed to live with somebody, and that's God. Amen? All right. So, how do you defeat anxiety? I'm going to give you 3 E's. E, like letter E. 3 E's. And that's this. I'm going to give it to you ahead. Examine, expose, and expire. If you remember these 3 things, and you practice these 3 things, you will have victory over anxiety in your life. If you don't, you will suffer needlessly. It's one thing, you know, but I'm suffering for Jesus. No, when you're anxious, you're not suffering for Jesus. Actually, God is not very pleased with people who are anxious and worried. Amen? Or who walk in fear. God is not pleased when you walk in fear. God is pleased when you walk by faith. When you get up in the morning and you say, something bad is going to happen. I just feel it in the pit of my stomach. That's fear. God is not pleased with you that day. When you get up and say, I believe God is in my life. He's going to do something for me in my life. His mercies renew every morning. Something good is going to happen to me today. God is pleased with you. Because you're practicing faith. That's what it means to practice faith. And Bible says faith becomes your shield. Woo-hoo! You watch movies and they sometimes create this shield, right? Over a Star Enterprise, the big ship, you know. There's that shield and they start shooting into that shield and they can't penetrate it. Well, that's what you do. By faith you create a shield. What's called shield in the Word of God? Ephesians chapter 6. Shield of faith, which is able to deflect every dart or spear of Satan that comes against you. Satan will throw spears at you every day. Either you're going to receive it, they're going to hit you and hurt you, and then you become, oh, I'm just weak, I'm negative. And then some of us, when we get fearful, we become angry. Right? So you become angry or stressed out. God says, lift up the shield. And that shield will be able to protect you. Come on, Christians, we got to know this, that we got to live by faith. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Lift up the faith. Even if things are looking bleak in your life, even when things are going bad in your life, lift up the shield and say something good is going to happen. Amen. I serve a mighty, powerful, living God. Amen. He's able to deliver me from every fear. And if God is for me, end it. Who can be against me? Satan could not touch Job without God's permission. Amen. That's all I got to fear. I got to fear God and Him alone. You want to enjoy your life. You want to not suffer needlessly. Every morning when you get up, spend time in a garden with Him. Open the Word. Pray a few minutes. Read one verse. Build up that shield. Speak to yourself. No weapon formed against me will prosper today. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. Jesus is my oldest brother. Right? Amen. Jesus is our oldest brother. God loves me as much as He loves Jesus. Because He gave up Jesus to save me. And Jesus says, I want you to know the love of God that He has for me. Meaning, He wants us to know the same love that Jesus experienced. So three E's on how to defeat your anxiety. First one is what? Examine. Second, expose. Third, expire. In order for you to defeat anxiety, you have to start in the beginning. You must examine. Okay? If you have a pain in your body and you go to a doctor, you have a pain in your knee, let's say, and you go to a doctor and he says, we need to cut your leg off. Right? Didn't even examine it. Right? You'd be like, you crazy. I'm going to get second opinion. If you go to a mechanic and you said, something is knocking in my car. Actually, my friend last year called me and said his wife was driving a car and says, the motor went bad. And they just bought this car. And she's like, well, can you drive? She's like, yeah, it's driving, but it's hitting. Like, it's knocking. She's like, just drive carefully. So she drives home and thank God he didn't believe that the motor went bad. He went around the car. And when he went around the car, he found that the tire on the car was all shredded and in pieces. Right? Imagine if you know who I'm talking about. and they're here today. So he went and changed the tire. Thank God he didn't go and change the engine. Right? So we must examine what is wrong. Right? If you have something wrong with your plumbing and the plumber comes in and says, we think we have to dig, you know, without even checking. I have a plug. I use a plunger, you know. And he says, no, we have to dig, put a new pipe in, you know, that's going to cost $10,000. Right? You just don't do that. And when it comes to, and listen to what the Bible says about examining. Bible says, examine yourselves. Put that up, guys. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. When faith level is low in your life, faith in God is low, anxiety and fear will be high. When faith in God is high, anxiety and fear is going to lower. It's the balance. So if you're experiencing anxiety, what do you got to do? Don't go to the doctor and get some pills. Don't go to a bottle and get a 40 and and drink. You know what I'm saying? Don't go get some reefer and get your peace on, you know? Okay, I just lost myself. Examine yourself whether you're in faith. So your faith level, check your faith level. That's it. Faith in God. Am I trusting in God? Why am I afraid? Why do I have this fear? Who am I fearing? Who? You know, examine yourself. So the Bible says, examine yourself to see if you're still in faith. Test yourself. Second verse, and this one before we take communion. What does the Bible says before we take communion? And let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So before you take communion, we have communion once a month, first Sunday of the month. So examine yourself. See, make sure you're in faith. You're still walking with God. And the Bible says if there's sin in your life, you need to repent. Right? God, forgive me. Examine yourself. Okay? Another one says this, but let each one examine his own work. So the Bible talks a lot. There's many verses in the Bible about examining yourself. So when anxiety comes into your life, don't go into the secondary sources. Figure out, go to yourself and examine yourself. Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Another translation of that, more correct translation says this. Study yourself and study the gospel to show yourself approved. Study yourself. What's going on here? Study yourself. Don't go running and say, I don't know, I'm anxious. No. What's going on? What's going on? God has given each human being the ability to examine themselves. You know when you're not right with God. Amen. And you know when the devil is saying you're not right and you are right. You can tell. And you need to know these things. Why am I anxious? Why? What causes my anxiety? Last Monday, I got up early in the morning and I had one of those days. I just feel so bad. Some of you live in those days. I just feel so bad. And I said, I'm preaching on anxiety, and here it comes. I could see it. You know, you can know when it's coming, right? It's coming. You can feel it. And I'm like, what should I do? You know, should I live in it? And usually it gets worse. Every pastor gets depressed Monday morning. So I just want you to tell you that. It's true. It's true. We feel like, oh, did we do a good job? And Satan says, no, you didn't. Oh, no, you didn't. You were bad. And people didn't get nothing out of it. And so, you know, you start. And by Wednesday, we're good. If you allow it. But I don't want to live like that anymore. I know it. I'm able to spot it now. Okay? So, number two. You go to number two. You expose your anxiety. Listen to determine what your anxiety is telling you. Okay? When we get anxious, our minds start running in every direction. And a lot of times we want to make decisions. How many of you, when you get anxious about money, you want to start making money decisions? That's the worst time to do your money decisions, right? Most of us is, I hear a little crick, squeak in my car, and I'm like, I think my car is going bad. What do I do? I think I need to get another loan. You start thinking like you shouldn't think, right? We should never make decisions when we're in fear or anxious. But that fight and flight kicks in, and we start making this, we start running. Our mind starts running, and that's exactly what it is. Slowing down is counterintuitive. Slowing down is usually counterintuitive. We usually want to run. We want to do something. One of the useful skills to know is when to listen to your feelings and when to not listen to your feelings. In this case, in your anxiety, you have to listen to your feelings. You know, your feelings will speak to you. Your anxiety will speak to you. Listening to anxiety is like listening to the background noise. Have you ever been in a mall, a food court, and everybody's yelling on Saturday usually, Saturday afternoon or about 12 o'clock? There's so many people in the mall. And when you sit in a food court, it's like noise everywhere. But guess what? If you start listening, at first you kind of don't hear anything. It's just loud. But when you start listening, you start hearing people. Start eavesdropping on the person next to you, this couple that are fighting about money or something. You start hearing teenage girls giggling. Yah! You know, you start hearing little babies crying, you know, being fussy, you know. So you start hearing sounds. You start hearing money being exchanged, you know, or money falling and pennies rolling in the ground. You hear things. Have you ever been in the forest early morning when everybody wakes up? First, you just don't hear anything. But if you start listening, you will hear birds calling their mates. You will hear wind lightly, you know, swooshing through the trees. You can hear an airplane flying ahead. You can hear a car running somewhere in the distance, right? Or a motorcycle running. You begin to hear things. Anxiety will speak to you. You just got to listen. Anxiety will speak to you, and you have to listen. Your emotions say something. Let me give you, for instance, anger. What does anger say? You are wrong. Right? Shame. What does shame say? I am wrong. And shame speaks, right? What does anxiety say? Anxiety say, I'm in danger. Something bad is going to happen to me, right? I'm vulnerable. I'm fragile. So see, your emotions will speak to you. Just learn to listen. You got to listen. And a lot of us say, I don't want to listen. Well, you can spend years being anxious, or you can take a few hours and listen, or even a few minutes and listen and dissect. What is your anxiety about? What is it saying to you? What is it protecting? What is your anxiety masquerading? Because anxiety and fear usually will masquerade something, will hide something, will protect something, will defend something, right? Anxiety likes to act like a functional savior. I'm going to save you. I'm going to protect you. Anxiety becomes like rabbit foot. You know why people need a rabbit's foot? For luck. Good luck charm. That's what anxiety becomes. That's why a lot of people hold on to anxiety. Because we feel like if we let go and let God, something bad is going to happen. Do you think anxiety has power? Yeah, for negative it does, but not for positive. My assistant did some research for me, and she found like over 100 symptoms that anxiety causes. I mean, tons of stuff. I mean, pages of stuff, of symptoms. And let me see. There's just too many of them. Heart arrhythmia, I mean, sweat, trembling, unable to think. Anxiety causes people a lot of different negativity. And yet it can't protect you from fear. And yet we use it as a lucky charm. If I'm anxious, that means I care, and that means God will not allow nothing to happen. Listen, if God wanted something to happen to you, anxiety would have no power over God. You shouldn't hold on to anxiety. It's not a rabbit's foot. It's not a lucky charm. It can't protect you. It can't defend you. You gotta let it go. Okay? Amen. Let's keep going. Anxiety will say to you, you are not in control. You're only human. You need other people. You need someone bigger than yourself. If a little boy walks in a dark alley at night, he's probably scared, right? But if a little boy has a big guy walking, like Bill over here, huge big guy walking with him, guess what? The little boy will not be anxious or scared, right? That's kind of like picture of God walking with us. When I fear, I will put my trust in you, David says. When I fear, I will put my trust in you. Some people say, well, God doesn't work fast enough. Right? You can't rely on God. You never know what he's going to do. True. So we start finding people who are bigger than us. Not so much in America, but in the third world countries, people really rely on their connections. I know somebody rich, right? I know somebody who is powerful. He works in the government, and he could protect me, right? Not in America so much, but in other countries. And so we start looking for people. But when we find people, we realize that we give up control to them. And whoever has control, we fear, right? So let's say you go to your parents for money, and they give you money. You start relying on them. And when you rely on them, you start fearing them. Why? Because they might not give you the money next time. So you have to do whatever they say. Even if they manipulate you, you got to dance to their tune, right? Because you're dependent on them. And we don't want to be dependent on anybody. We want to be the Lord of our life. I'm going somewhere. Anxiety will say to you, if you look deep down inside, that you are a creature, not a God. How many of you ever watched movies like Avengers, Fantastic Four, or Incredible Hulk? Come on. Oh. They're fictional, but they suggest something to us. They suggest that if we were given a choice, we would prefer to be all-powerful. We would prefer to be God. Anxiety says something. It says so much. If you start digging in, what is it saying? I have this feeling when I woke up that morning and I had that anxiety. I could have lived with it all day and felt negative and snapped at my wife, snapped at my kids. Because when we're anxious, some of us get angry. Okay? And so, but instead I chose to take a ride. I sat in my car and I took a long ride in my car. And I said, Lord, I'm going to deal with this. What is going on here? Why am I anxious? What's happening to me? And then it led to, it led to money. I had two big bills I had to pay and I didn't want to pay them. I had the money to pay them, but I didn't want to pay them. And I was like, if I pay, my savings account's going to go down. I don't want to pay. And so my anxiety was caused by money. I loved money. We all love money. Because money buys us comfort. Money can protect us when we're old, you know. It can provide for us when we're old. Money can even get us friends, you know. We love money. Rich or poor, we love money. So anxiety will point who is becoming your God. Number four, your anxiety will tell you what you really need and love. Two categories of where anxiety comes up. Two big categories. It's either money or people. Anxiety will tell you what you really need or love. When we need people, when we need what people can give us, they are in control and we fear them. When we need what money can give us, we will notice rising anxiety when we have to pay our bills. Okay, so anxiety will come when we need something. When we need money, we're saying that money is especially valuable to us. And if they're especially valuable, that means we love them. We love money. All right, so anxiety will expose. This is a big one. This is where I want to get to. Anxiety will expose who is sitting at the throne, in the throne of your life. Who is the Lord of your life? In this case, it could be your money. It could be your spouse. My wife will share in a second here, just quickly. she will share how she used to put her spouse, that's me, right, on the throne of her life. Could you quickly share it with us?
So, yeah, I used to think that, you know, if my husband died and he has a very dangerous job and he would go to work and, you know, I know that he's in danger and I would imagine these things happening to him and him dying and And I just couldn't imagine my life, you know, without him. And I would go through these, you know, like imaginations how he can die and I'm going to be alone. And you know, like, it's my husband. And I just started to realize that he became my God. He became everything. Like, Yeah, my life was just all around him. You know, is he happy? Is he, am I, you know? And then God started showing me that actually I was selfish. You know, I was not around. I was not serving him in a way. Is he happy? But am I making him happy so he doesn't leave me or he doesn't die or something happens so I can be happy? And then God just challenged me. He said, I will not let you have another God. And I was like, oh my goodness, God is going to take my husband from me. And so that was another fear, you know, God is going to take my husband away from me. And so I had to come to, you know, to the point where I had to say, okay, so what's the worst thing that could happen, you know, if my husband dies or he leaves? What's the worst thing? Like, we have business, you know, I'll have to do this and that. You know, I'll probably have to sell the house. I like really had to go through details of what I will have to do, the steps that I will have to make. And then, well, first of all, I had to grieve through like losing him, you know, like, okay, I'll be lonely. I'll be very, very sad for a long time. I will cry probably a lot. And so I had to like cry and be like, okay, this is how it would feel to lose my husband. It would be horrible, but okay, I'm still alive. I'm still saved by God. And then I came to the point where I was like, okay, God, you can take anything away from me. You know, later on we'll have kids. We didn't have kids back then. You can take my kids. You can take anything you will decide to take away from me. I'll be fine as long as I have you. And that's where the peace came in, that, you know, as long as I serve you, you will never hurt me on purpose. And if something happens to me, it's good for me. You can have it all as long as I have you in my life.
Thank you. So anxiety will point to money. It will point to your kids. It will point who is enthroned in your life. For some people, kids become, and kids are very important to me. I love my kids. All right? I love them. But guess what? They can't be above God in my life. My life cannot revolve. The kids cannot be the center of my universe. God has to become. Money cannot be the center of my universe. God has to become. Comfort cannot become the center of my universe. I used to have this anxiety that I'm a pastor, and usually in different countries, not so much in America, pastors were put in prison for preaching. And I'm like, Lord, what if they put me in prison? That's a comfort. Trying to fight a comfort God. Because if they were, watch this. I was thinking about it. Why am I afraid of prison so much for the gospel? If I have to, you know, sacrifice and go to prison for preaching the good news someday, if that becomes outlawed, you know, because in history we see many people being killed for murdered, put in prison for being a Christian. That's, we never had a generation when there wasn't such a thing in the world. There's always something. And I have friends here in the United States. Their grandpa served 25 years in communist Russia for being a pastor. And you know, as a pastor, you get those things. Would I compromise on this gospel? Would I go to prison? And then I had to come to the conclusion that I have a comfort God. I love my comfort. Because if they were going to send me to Dominican, right? I'd be like, oh yeah, bring it on. For Jesus, I'm going to suffer for Jesus in Dominican. Jamaica is fine too. Right? I will even want my children to go here. So what's, you see, so sometimes we have a comfort God. And that's why we're anxious. We don't know, I don't want nothing bad to happen to me because I'm going to lose my comfort. What is the source of your, could be friends, I'm going to lose my friend. What is the source of your anxiety? I'm going to lose my husband. What if he leaves? What if he cheats? What if he dies? What if my wife, and you live in fear. What if my parents die? That means your parents, your children, your money are being enthroned, put on the throne of your life. And God says, I'm a jealous God. I will not have no other gods before me. So God says, seek first the kingdom so you don't have to focus on yourself so much. Distract yourself from yourself by serving Jesus. Our anxiety comes because we're so self-centered. Distract yourself from yourself. Look farther. Look to somebody bigger than yourself. How can you be anxious if you got somebody huge in your life who's going to defend you and protect you? Right? Hallelujah. Our fears point to what we really care about. Some of us say, yeah, we love Jesus, but boy, we love money. And Jesus says, no. Don't put me on the same level of affection. Don't put on the same throne God and money. God and you and people. No. God is always higher than people. Then money, then everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. Cause of our anxiety because we seek everything else and don't seek the kingdom. Amen. And God, and listen to this, God will fight, Christian or not, He will fight to be on the throne of your life. Christian or not, God will fight to be on the throne of your life. Sometimes unchristian people don't realize it, but they do this. And this is point number three. Expire. Expire means put to death. Next one is, you must put to death the object of your anxiety. Now, you don't kill people if they're the object of your anxiety, right? Let me get this right. Tanya didn't kill me because I was becoming the object of her anxiety. I had a friend, and let me quickly go into the story. I had a friend named Christian. He was my, and this is the thing that whenever I get like a really good friend, God like takes him away from me. A guy friend I'm talking about. You know, like they just start moving away. You know, like really, or they get married or something. And I'm kidding. Where's Andre? Oh, there he is. I love you, man. Okay, that is just a joke. Not really, Andre. Alright, so expire. I had this cool friend. When we started this church, God sent me this friend from Africa. His name was Christian. He was from starts with a C in Africa. Congo. He was from Congo. And do you remember Christian? Is that Congo or K? No, he was from Congo. No, he's from Congo. Republic. Well, whatever. Okay. And so we became great friends, right? We became great friends. And he lived in Africa, so he didn't have a job. He was involved in ministry, and he served with big shot preachers up there. You know, he would just serve with them, and they were praying for people, and they cast out demons, and you know, those things happen a lot in Africa. And he came here, and we became good friends. Tanya and I just started the church, so we would invite him to our house. You know, he was not married, you know, so it was kind of like he was always there, you know, he's always eating our food, and we just became great friends. And we would travel together. We would hear somebody has cancer somewhere and they're gonna die, so we're like, God is sending us to Minneapolis, we're gonna pray and come against this cancer. I mean, we were radicals. We would pray for deliverance. And I really saw people's arms become like rubber. I really did. This is crazy. Not joking. I mean, really, things do happen. But anyway, don't want to spook you or anything. And we would go and we would pray and we would command and we would declare and we would say that people are going to be healed. Some of them died, actually. But but some got healed. Some got healed, some died, some got delivered, some didn't, okay? And so we were just good friends. We loved the Lord. Our relationship was built on the Lord, you know? And one day we were traveling together, and he said he used to, and at this time in my life, we just got married with Tanya not too long ago, about a year. And before I got married, I never lived on my own, okay? I always lived with my parents. It wasn't the greatest place. My mom was kind of controlling. But it's okay. I lived with my parents, and I saved the money and things like that. And that's why I was able to build a house and not even move in into an apartment. We moved right into a house. You don't have to do that. But, you know, if you can live with your parents for a while, do that before till you get married. So, and save up the money. You know, don't be a slob, of course. You know, But if you're living with your parents, at least you should be saving money, you know, so you can buy a house or do something that you wanted to do. Anyway, we got married, and so and all this pressure fell on me. All the pressure, responsibility of being a provider fell on me, and I'm like, Christian, I'm just struggling here. I am in darkness. That's the first time I experienced when I would drive in the middle of a beautiful day and I'd be so anxious and depressed, it would be darkness. I couldn't see the lights. So you know, anxiety will do those things to you. And I said to Christian, I said, you got to help me out, man. What do I do? And he said, let me tell you what I did. He said, his mom still lives in Congo, somewhere, yeah, in Africa. And he said he would get so anxious about, his mother was older, so he would feel so anxious like she's going to die and he's never going to say goodbye. And what he did was he would stress over it, he said. And every call he would get, he would feel like that was the news that his mother has died. And he lived in total panic and total fear every day. He couldn't enjoy life. And then one day he said, I had to die. I had to bury my mother in my heart. And one day he just broke down and said, what's the worst thing that could happen? This is your clue on how to fight anxiety. You got to ask, what's the worst thing that could happen? Okay? Always. And you got to follow it through. Follow the line. What's the worst? What is it going to do? And he said, well, my mom will die. And he said, okay. So I'm going to allow her to die in my heart. And he said, okay. So he started crying. He started, you know, being emotional. And he lived through that moment. Like, she died. He buried her. But he said, there was always, like, so what else is going to happen? She's going to die. What's after that? Well, she's going to go to heaven. Okay, so I won't see her for, you know, 50, 70 years. And then I will see her again. Right? What's the worst that can happen? She's going to be with Jesus. Right? And so he just followed those emotions. And he allowed her to die. She didn't die yet. Now, some of us fear to do that because we feel like we're killing my mom. Or I'm killing my children. No. That's not what you're doing. You're just following the line. You're just letting go. You're just letting go. And so when he let go, he said, now I live. And every chance I get to speak to my mom, I enjoy it. But I don't live in fear. I don't live in fear of that. My mom dying and it could happen. He said, if my mom dies and I go to her funeral, or if I don't go to a funeral, he said, I won't even be emotional because I was already emotional. I already let her go. I already let her die. And now every moment I'm going to live. When my wife let go of that fear of losing me, guess what? She didn't kill me. That didn't kill me. That just made us enjoy our life together better. Just because I gave up my control over me being the provider over my house for my household doesn't mean I stopped being the provider of my household. I think I became a better provider for my household. Right? Just because you let go of your kids and don't put them on a throne of your life doesn't mean you don't care about your kids. Actually, you begin to love them even better because you don't love them emotionally and anxiously. Oh, I feel like losing you, so I need to buy you everything. I can't punish you. I can't correct you. I can't send you to your room because you're the Lord of my life. You're a functional Savior. You make me feel good. You can't do that. Money. What's the worst thing that could happen for me? I had to die to the money idea, to the business idea. What if I lose my business? Okay, I'll have to. And the worst place for me to work, because my dad always worked there, and he's been there 22 years, was John Morrell. And I came there to translate for him, and I saw how those walls are all sweaty with, you don't want to see what's happening there when I went there, okay? And I was like, the worst thing that could happen. Okay, well what if I have to work there? Okay, I'll just have to. Well, if they don't hire me, I'll go and be a servant in some restaurant or a dishwasher. Maybe we won't have as nice of a house, but we'll still be happy because we don't need a house to be happy, right? You got to follow it through. And then you're free. Some of you freaking out about politics. What if Obama wins? What if Romney wins? That's it. It's going to be the end of the world. What? And you're stressing out. Anybody says something on Facebook, I hate you. I'm going to cancel you. Right? You're not coming on my Facebook. That's it, you fanatic or you liberal, you know, lib. So follow that through. What's the worst thing that can happen? Your guy loses and the other guy becomes the president. Okay, so what's going to happen? How's your life going to change? Well, maybe it changes a little bit. The worst thing that could happen is you die and go to be with Jesus. I mean, follow it through. What's the worst thing that could happen? He'll be there 4 years. If the country doesn't like him, they're going to kick him out. But bigger, beyond that, if God allows him to win, that means God is in charge. He knows what he's doing. He's in control. The reason Obama is in office is because God put him there. Now, we don't know if he's going to put him there again. All right? That's okay. That's okay. But listen to me. It's whoever God puts in there, God is in control. So if God is in control, what are you worried about? Come on. See, devil wants you to live, play that. He wants you to be in panic mode. And God wants you to enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy life. Hallelujah. Paul, you know Apostle Paul? His life from the first day that he became a Christian was in danger of death. First day he became Christians, after 3 days he started preaching. And those people he was persecuting with, now were persecuting him. Right? Every day of Paul's life, he was in danger of being killed. He struggled with that. And then later, he came up with one verse. This verse, when you fly in a plane and you're afraid of flying, this verse will help you tremendously. He said something. I almost see Paul getting tired of being sick and tired of fear of death. And he says a verse. He says a quote. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He put his fear of death to death. So next time the fear came to him and said, I think you're going to die tonight. They're going to come and snatch you from your comfortable straw bed and you're going to die. And he would answer it, what? For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I win when I die. What are you talking about? You can't scare me. So when you're flying on a plane and you're... knuckles are getting sweaty. What's the worst thing that could happen? You can die. But for me to live is Christ. I'm adopting this for my motto of life. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. You got to follow your anxiety to the end and let it go. And you got to understand that if you let go, that doesn't mean that God is you're allowing God to punish you now and to allow you to experience what you fear. No, 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 no. If God wanted you to die, your anxiety can't protect you. So why would you live in it? Why would you let it destroy your life? Are we getting this? Is this helping anybody? Amen. All right. Maybe we could clap right here for the Lord. Hallelujah. Whew, if I didn't you could play, we're done. Don't allow, your anxiety can't protect you. It hurts you. It steals life from you. It takes it away. Jesus came to give you life to the fullest. Now, there will be troubles, there will be tribulations in this world. Right? But why would you want to add to your troubles by being anxious? Job said, whatever I feared came into my life. When you fear something, you open the door in the spirit for it to come in into your life. I fear that my husband is going to leave me or my wife is going to leave me. Guess what? You start acting towards your husband or wife a certain way. You start being super jealous. You start being like, where were you? You push him or her away And eventually they do leave. Don't be surprised if they leave because you opened the door. Anxiety opens the door to things. I need those doors closed. I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to believe God. Bad things do happen because God does allow sometimes things to happen. But if He allows it, then He's going to bring me through it. If He allows it, then He knows what's best for me. What's the worst thing that could happen? Ask yourself. Your fear, what's the worst thing that could happen? As long as you got Christ, everything else is temporary. Your spouse is temporary. Yeah, your kids are temporary too. They're only given to you in this life. In heaven, they're brothers and sisters. So yeah, my daughter is going to be my sister in heaven, right? I already told her that. We're going to be the same age. You know? About 33, you know, Jesus' age. About my age now. Right? What's the worst thing that could happen? And that frees you up to enjoy your mother to the fullest. Instead of freaking out, my mom is going to die. My mom. You're like, Mom, I'm so glad I got to spend one more day with you. Oh, it's so good to live in peace. So good to live in. That's what Christ wants. Peace I give you, not like the world gives. I give you peace. Death is not the worst thing that could happen to a Christian. It is in this world, but it's not, because death, nobody ever dies. Hold on a second. Nobody ever dies. Have you thought about that? We're spiritual beings, so nobody ever dies. We just move from one country to another. Nobody ever dies. You got to remember that. Sometimes you say, why did God allow so many kids to die over here? They're not dead to Him. They're in a better place with Him. I know it's set for us, but if we believe in God, then nobody ever dies. Even Satan doesn't die. Right? Nobody ever dies. We go on to live forever. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank You. We put our trust in You, Father. We thank You for Your Spirit of wisdom working here today and revealing people simple, practical truth. How can they fight anxiety? Oh, Lord, I believe You had victory here today in this service. I believe that Your name was magnified in this service today. And I know that Satan fought hard for this service not to happen, but I believe You spoke, God, and Your people will be free in the name of Jesus. We shall not live in fear. We shall not live in worry. We shall not live in anxiety or stress, God, because we trust You. If You care for the birds, if You care for the lilies of the field, if You care for the grass, You definitely care for me. Hallelujah. You care for my children. You care for my job and my health and my finances. You care for all of that, Father. Come on, begin to declare that God cares for me. Begin to declare it in your life. He cares for me. Put all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Hallelujah. Don't live in that fear anymore. We rebuke that fear out of your life in the name of Jesus. Hold on. Stop praying. Look at me. If you have put, listen to me, you don't have power to follow through this. You can't just on your own follow through this and kind of, you know, let go. You need the grace of God, the power of God. Okay? The first thing though, if you've had anxiety over certain things about money, you need to repent. You just need to say, God, I repent because I put money equal with You or above. You know, you can't have two masters, right? But some of us put money and God on the same. We need to put the money down. We need to say, Lord, I repent from my fear of this thing. I ask You to forgive me and deliver me from this fear. Right? Because He delivers us. Thank You, Lord, because He reminded me of this. Because we almost skipped the step. And that step is very important, to repent. And we put Jesus to be the Lord of our life. Don't put your wife to be the Lord of your life. Don't put your husband. Don't you put your kids. Don't put your money. Don't put politics. Don't put your job. Don't put your education. Don't put anything. Put God first and then put everything else. God, family, country, whatever. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. Now, oh, if this message has touched your life, or if any messages touch your life, can you go to our website, newlifechurchsf.org? And there's on the front page, share your story button. Can you tell us your story? It really helps us. It encourages us. It encourages our volunteers. If God has been doing something in your life, you don't have to even put your name if you don't want to. You can just go on our website and share your story. Your testimony is important to us. I believe today many people got set free. Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free or set you free. Now you're going to have to do some work. You're going to sit down and do what? Examine, expose, and expire. That's what you're going to have to do. But that's going to take you a few hours maybe at the most. Find a place where you love. Go driving. If you love driving, go in a park for a walk and just. And after that, let it go and live free. That's true freedom, being free from fear and free from anxiety.